time marches on. Time marches on.
15-year-old Tanya Wright of Spring Hill disappeared the night of December 7, 1996, her skeleton found in a town cemetery the following June. After the case went cold, Jeff McDonald was hired. He's a private detective, and after dozens of interviews, he's developed suspects and a motive, a teen rivalry for a boy's attention.
I also believe there's a possible secondary motive of just evil. You know, you meet a person, oh man, that's a great person, but there's evil there, and then every now and then you see it.
Jeff calls the girl the mastermind, a boy he believes is involved, the heavy. He thinks they grabbed Tanya as she walked home late at night. Jeff says the mastermind, the heavy, and two other girls have avoided responsibility ever since, sometimes making up theories to throw others off their trail.
They've had 7 months to groom the story in case the body's found, because they know where the body is.
There was a fake communication when police still thought Tanya had run away.
And then there was a phone call that came in that said, well, you know, this is Tanya, I'm in Overland Park, I'm okay, tell my dad I'm okay. So it's just a lot of diversion going on.
And Tanya was dead when that call came in. Tanya's parents conducted their own search. Her mother is Lori, who lived in Arizona then and still lives there.
It just went from there, trying to put flyers out, making phone calls, everything.
Tanya's dad, Frank, thinks somebody could easily break open the case.
And anybody involved with this knows somebody out there knows exactly what happened.
Jeff believes his suspects have deliberately implicated innocent people, suggesting the culprit was a popular boy at Spring Hill High or a wild character the mastermind knew in a nearby town. Jeff found an online message thread between the mastermind and the heavy from several years ago.
It's a 21-page back and forth Facebook dialogue between what I say the mastermind and the heavy.
And Jeff says it's full of half-baked theories, diversions, and red herrings.
Basically, they're trying to exonerate themselves 13 years later after the killing.
Back in 1996 and to the present day, the mastermind has maintained she was a good friend to Tanya. Jeff doesn't buy it.
You appear to look like you're searching for them, but in reality, you're doing everything to distract and divert attention away from you, and you're trying to put it on to other people.
He interviewed the heavy. In his late 30s, his health is not the best. He lives with his mom.
He's a decent guy, a little bit lazy, does a whole lot of talking, but says a whole lot of nothing.
Straight answers, few and far between, and Jeff says the heavy's mom played the same games.
She started telling me the same story, and I just turned the recorder off. I just thought, you know, I see what you're doing here. You're not trying to help.
Jeff talked to a woman who had a baby and an 8-year relationship with the heavy. She said he was secretive about his past.
She was never introduced to anything or anybody that he really had anything to do with in Spring Hill.
He's reached out to other people close to the situation, and a few gave him the stiff arm.
Everybody's willing to take a few moments to talk with me about this case in any way, shape, or form, but this one girl will not answer a text, a phone call.
Seasoned detectives with the Johnson County Sheriff's Office were not able to break the mastermind or the heavy. They've both been through polygraphs. The mastermind seemed even to have fun with it.
One of the first things she wanted to tell the polygraph examiner is that she had an IQ of 138.5. I mean, she was trying to set the tone that, hey, I'm pretty smart here.
When we come back, we'll talk about a kind-hearted friend who helped restart the investigation into Tanya's murder, and we'll look for ways to move forward. Mark Lavoie, News 98.1 KMBZ. Twenty-two years after Tanya Knight's death, the 15-year-old pretty girl from Spring Hill is anything but forgotten. Her family maintains a Facebook page called Justice for Tanya. They still ask people to come forward and turn the killers in to the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. Tanya's mother in Arizona allowed her to move to the small town to be with her dad. Her need to know what happened is as urgent as it ever was.
I said I'd never give up till the people responsible are caught.
Lori's former boss and good friend, Stephen Ray, heard the stories about Tanya over the years. Stephen's wife got involved and said, if the case has gone cold, why not hire a private investigator? That was beyond Lori's means, so the Rays and business partner David Arvizu ponied up the cash.
That's when he decided that him and his partner in their business was going to put up the money for the private detective, and they've also put up a $10,000 reward.
Which meant a lot to Lori.
It made me feel that somebody out there really cared enough about me and my family to try to help us find closure.
Enter Private Detective Jeff McDonald. He thinks the folks in Arizona found him through his website. He's been helping his clients find people and the truth for more than two decades.
You know, you're 20 years behind the eight ball. You know, you're getting a late start trying to figure out what's going on.
The Johnson County Sheriff's Office gave Jeff a lot of access to their evidence. Jeff spent days going over photographs, videotapes of interrogations, polygraphs. Then he had to track down 60 or 70 interviews.
Part of the problem, too, is every person you have to locate. You know, they've moved 20 years ago. So where are they today?
Jeff discovered the two main suspects he calls the Mastermind and the Heavy may have been trying to throw off the investigation before and after the discovery of Tanya's skeleton and all these years.
People are throwing rumors out, well, she's pregnant and she went with this boy. Or, oh, she's living in a trailer in Gardner.
When he showed up unannounced at the Heavy's home, he found a 38-year-old man who didn't look well, living with his mom, incapable of holding down a job.
Looks like he's got health issues. I believe they're related to this case. You know, I mean, I think his stomach and everything else is just turning him up, you know, chewing him up.
And the mastermind, the girl who claimed to be Tanya's dear friend, whom Jeff suspects of setting up the killing, she's married, three daughters of her own living several states away, and she's not talking. Jeff suspects jealousy over a boy is the motive, or maybe something even more sinister he remembers from an old Johnny Cash song.
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Maybe there was something here, a component of, hey, let's just beat her up, or let's, you know, the stabber, let's do something just to see what it feels like.
What is left here is a couple of broken-hearted parents. Some people say there's no such thing as closure. Lori would like to test that theory for herself.
There's people out there that knows what happened. I just wish they would come forward.
Tanya's father, Frank, living in the country between Ottawa and Wellsville, says he knows there are people who know what happened to Tanya. People who are now pushing 40, protecting themselves or protecting the kids they ran around with back in the 90s.
For whatever reason, they don't want to talk. They need to change their minds and just get it out. This needs to be put to rest.
Jeff wants people to call the sheriff's office, or they can call him. You never know how a tiny, seemingly unrelated fact can affect the case. Jeff's website is kansascitydetective.com.
Is there some little insight I'm missing? Is there some friend of a friend of a friend that we need to talk to?
Mark Lavoie, News 98.1 KMBZ.